Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning on this Old Testament Friday. What a day, what a day. Thanking God. Oh, I am just so overwhelmed this morning. On yesterday evening, my church family threw me a surprise birthday party. My birthday is next Tuesday, but I will not be at church this weekend. I have another engagement, and I am just overwhelmed. I was very surprised and very grateful. God always comes through when you least expect. He never leaves you out there. He never leaves you alone. He always is with us. And so to the Table of Life Ministry family, thank you so much for the surprise. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for just being awesome and mighty. My pastor, as many of you who listen every day, was on the other day. Right now, I know she is on a prayer call, which is where I was prior to coming on with you. But we are going to open it up this morning. Mother Valerie is back, and Mother Valerie is going to open us in prayer this morning, and she will be reading on our Old Testament Friday. We are still in the book of Numbers, and she will be reading Numbers chapter 17. Chapter 18 and chapter 19 with life lessons for Numbers only. So we will be in life lessons for Numbers 17 and 18 and life lessons for Numbers 19. I'm sorry. We only have one life lesson, and that for her will be Numbers chapter 17 and 18, and whatever God puts on her heart to speak to you. And I will be back in Numbers chapter 20, 21, and 22. this morning, and all I can say is, wow, we got some great word this morning. And the word that God gave me for today is this: trust in the Lord, and he will give you water from the rock. Hallelujah. God knows when we are going through our dry season, when, you know, it just seems like nothing is going right. Your finances are looking shady. You know, your house is a mess. Your kids are acting up, you know, just showing out. All it seems like just everything is just out of whack. And, you know, the people on your job are acting silly. And, you know, you're like, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Why am I going through? We all go through dry seasons. We all go through times of strife. We all go through times where it just seems like nothing is right. But that is the time that you trust in God the most. That is the time when you look up and say, Lord, I know you got me. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stress, because I know that everything is going to work for my good, because I'm trusting in you, Lord. So trust God in your dry season. Trust God when you think everything that seems to be out of whack. Because I tell you something, he's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And now I turn it over to our co-host, the best co-host that you could ever have, my godmother. I turn it over to you. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this
morning?
Good
morning. Good morning.
How are
good
you
morning.
This
can
morning,
you hear
Mother?
Me?
We can hear you
oh,
clearly.
Oh, I'm doing fine. Great.
Well, thank you.
Well,
also, Mother Valerie was a part of that surprise party on last night. So, yes. So, Mother, as I have you on the line, thank you so much.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. The surprise birthday party was really beautiful. She came out the door. She took her hands and put her hands over her mouth, and she just looked, and everybody started hugging her. It was really great, because I think she was really, truly surprised for real. And when you can really surprise a person and nobody tells it, it works out just fine. It was beautiful. Father
Not
God,
even the children. The children didn't tell
her. Didn't nobody tell her. And that's what made it so beautiful, because we all knew and she didn't know. You know, usually some people will spoil things, but not this time. It wasn't spoil. It was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And Pastor was really surprised. Really surprised. I like things like that when a person is truly surprised. Nobody spoils it. I'm going to open this up in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for this day. And thank and praise you for Pastor's birthday party. And Lord, bless her. She's going to leave us for maybe 3 days. She's traveling. Give her traveling grace. Help her to accomplish the things that she wants to accomplish. Let her get rest, God. Wherever she's going, make sure that she gets rest. And we just thank you for waking us up in our right mind. Oh, God, we thank you for healing our bodies from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. And right now, Janice Wu is going through something. God, heal her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Let her know that you are with her. And I'm going to see my sister Rita. Give me traveling grace. And, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for being God. Bless all your children. Bless the ones that are contemplating coming to you. And I thank and praise you. I'll give our leaders, the president, and people that have charge over us, give them wisdom to lead us in the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming to you out of Numbers 17:1-32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, get from them a rod for each family's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod. and you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For thou shalt be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony, where I'll meet with you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel. Each of the leaders gave him a rod apiece for each leader according to their father's houses, 12 rods. The rod of Aaron was among their rods. Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron, the house of Levi, had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms, and yield ripe almonds. Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to all the children of Israel. They looked, each man took his rod. Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, so you may put their complaints away from me, lest they die. Thus did Moses, just as the Lord commanded him, so he did. So the children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, surely we'll die, we'll perish, we'll all perish. Whoever comes near the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Shall we all utterly die? Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. You and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your fathers, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary. Hold on just a minute. It should not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. They should be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting. For all the work of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you. You shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary, duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood, for everything at the altar and behind the veil. You shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Lord spoke to Aaron. Here I myself also given you charge of my heave offering. All the holy gifts of the children of Israel I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every offering of theirs, every grain offering, every sin offering, and every treason, trespass offering, which they render to me shall be most holy for you and your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat it, every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offering of the children of Israel. I have given them to you, and your sons and your daughters with you, as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine and the grain, their first fruits, which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first fruit, white fruit, is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that first opens the womb of all flesh which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed of devoted things you shall redeem 1 month old according to your valuation of 5 shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 euros. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar, burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. And their flesh shall be yours, just as the waved breast and the right thigh are yours. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Go on, just a second.
Okay. Mother Valerie.
Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portions among them. I'm your portion, your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they performed, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle or meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle or meeting. They shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, that among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance for the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord. I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites, say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as an inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. And you know that's why we give a tenth even to this day, offering of it to the Lord. And your heave offerings shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the thrashing floor, as the fullness of the wine press. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel. You shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. All of your gifts you shall offer up, every heave offering, due to the Lord from all the best of them, consecrated part of them. Therefore, you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the thrashing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting. You shall bear no sin because of it, when you have lifted up the best of it. But you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. Lest you die. Life lesson. Numbers 17 and 8. Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold the rod of Aaron that had produced blossoms and yield ripe almonds. The Lord will go to great lengths to show us and confirm to us his perfect will. Not only did Aaron's rod show signs of growth, but it showed the complete cycle of the amount of trees from bud to blossom to fruit. Interesting, the almond was a symbol for haste and vigil, two qualities the high priest would need to exhibit. I remember Aaron's rod and how it had blossomed. There, you know, a rod, you know, blooming, blossom. Is there anything too hard for God? Nothing is too hard for God. God can do anything. Numbers 18 and 20, I'm your portion, and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Aaron had no territory or property, but God gave him, God gave him himself as Aaron's portion and inheritance. Oh, my goodness. To have God as your inheritance, God gave him himself. What a statement. I'm giving you, oh, my goodness, that's something great. That's something big. God gave him himself. When we find our treasure in God, we gain a rich store of salvation, wisdom, knowledge. My Lord, Aaron had no territorial property. God didn't give him property. He gave Aaron himself. You know, Aaron was a priest, and that's beautiful. God is just a good God all the time. So that's 17, 18, and I'm going to read 19, Numbers 19, 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish." God don't want anything that you offer to the Lord. It's got to be perfect. He said, without blemish, in which there is no defect. Like I just said, he don't want the animal to have defect. Give God your very best. Like I was speaking on the tithes. The tithes started right then and there. Give God a tenth, not a fifth or a fourth. You can give him a tenth, or you can give him more. But he requires a tenth of whatever you make, and that's what we do to this day. I mean, it started way back in the Old Testament, a tenth. And we have kept up the tradition, give God his tenth. It's not that God needs it, but the light bills have to be paid, so we do bring a tenth, even to this day. It says, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect on it, on which a yoke has never come. You should give it to Eleazar, the priest, and he may take it outside the camp, and shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar, the priest, shall take some of his blood with his finger, bring a thumb of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle meeting. Then the heifer shall be barren in his sight, his hide, his flesh, his blood, and his offal shall be barren. And the priest shall take the cedar wood, hip salt, scarlet, cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, he shall bathe in water. Afterward he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water. They'll be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, store them outside the camp in a clean place. They should be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes, be unclean until evening. It should be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. Oh, I thank God that it's not like that now. Because usually when we bury someone, our loved one, you've even seen people kiss their faces, touch their face for the last time. But back in those days, he who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the third day. On the seventh day, then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever to touch the body of anyone who has died does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut from Israel. He shall be unclean because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law. When a man dies in a tent, all who comes into the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every one vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. whoever's in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword or who has died, or a bone of a man or a grave shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer, burn for purification from sin, and running water shall be put on them in a vessel. Clean person shall take hyssop, dip it in the water, sprink it on the tent, on all the vessels, on the person who were there, or on the one who touched the bone, the slain and dead, of a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, bathe in water, all at evening he shall be clean. But the man who is unclean does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he had defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him, he's unclean. It shall be a perpetual statute for them. He shall sprinkle the water of purification, shall wash his clothes, and he who touches the water of purification shall be unclean until evening. Whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches it shall be unclean until evening. You know, God is very, very strict in his rules. When he says something, that's what he wants you to do. Right now, Jesus died on Calvary cross, and we don't have to go through all this uncleanness as long as we believe in the Lord Jesus, confess our sins, ask God to forgive us for our sins, mean it from our heart. You know, back in the day, they had to do a whole lot of stuff. But I'm glad right now that we don't have to do all that. All we have to do is believe, just believe. That's all he's asking us to do is just believe. 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 Repent. Forgive. And those things we can do if we want to be saved, if we want to be called to meet the Lord in midair, if we want to be raptured, just believe. You know, to me that's easy. But to other people, I mean, Pastor sent me a beautiful, I think it was a sunset, and it was the most beautiful sunset I've seen, and I'm going to take that to the store and have that enlarged. It's just absolutely beautiful, just like the rain, the snow. When it snowed the other day, it snowed for maybe 2 hours, maybe 2 hours and a half, and the snow was so heavy. That was a sign of the end time, because after it snowed, the next day, people were outside without their coats on. I mean, it's just beautiful when you see the signs of the Lord, when you see what God can do. When I wake up in the morning, I see God. I really do. I see God everywhere, the squirrels, the birds, the trees, the sky, myself. Just getting up in the morning, look at your own face. We're made in the image of God. I see God everywhere I go. So I just thank and praise God. I'm overwhelmed with happiness. I thank and praise God for the health of the people, and for Pastor being healthy, and for Pastor Jesse, and for my church members. I thank God. I just thank God. Because when you go through something and you come out of it, you trust in the Lord. Lean on him. Trust in the Lord with all your might. Don't lean into your own understanding. Take it to the altar. Leave it there. Trust God to work it out. And when you do, I don't know how he works it out. He's God. He's God. And he truly can work it out. Oh, God is just good.
Amen.
Really good.
Amen.
I'm gonna get it back.
Amen.
Over.
Thank you so much, Mother. You know what, Mother, when you get into the word, it just takes you there. You get excited and you get filled up, because God's word, it gives us everything we need. And truly, when we talk about purification, you think about it. Back in those days, they didn't know what these people died from. So they had to, you know, clean themselves up, because the one thing you didn't want to do was start a plague and start a disease going through the camp, because one thing and one person could create all kind of havoc, messing around with dead bodies, because you don't know at that time You know, they didn't have modern medicine. They had, you know, to deal with the things that God told them to do. And if you ever really stop and think of it, everything that God told them to do was the stuff that doctors are telling people to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. It's all right there. I tell people, if you want to know anything, even today, go to the book. Go to the basic instruction before leaving Earth. Go to the book. The book will tell you everything you need to know. Think about it. Anything and everything is in here. And sometimes I always wonder when he's talking about the aliens, if they're not talking about aliens and not strangers, because it was like he talked to aliens, he talked strangers, he talked to people of Israel. So, okay, are they talking real? Aliens, you know, we want to kind of whitewash over that word, but it makes you wonder. Just saying. Not a conspiracy theorist, mother, just saying. You know, God can do all things, and we don't know, because I always say, if God made Earth, this beautiful planet, why would we think he has not made beautiful planets all through the universe? Just saying. Anyway, chapter 20 of the Book of Numbers, as people are saying, our host has got some issues. She over there talking about aliens, mother. But you know what? You just don't know. Everything is created by God, and we need to stop acting like we the only thing that's so great, like we the only thing, as they say, since sliced bread. We are just one of many creations of God. And then it goes into the word, then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and were buried there. Because again, what did God tell them? You will not make it into the promised land. He told them that they were not going in because of their hard-headedness, because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith. And he told them that they would be dying in the wilderness. And so some are dying. And I'm going to read it again. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh and Miriam and died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and contended, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place of grain or feed? It is, excuse me, not a place of grain or feed or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. Again, could have been in the land flowing with milk and honey. Mother, they could have been there. But instead, they chose to believe the 10 and not the 2. Chose to believe the 10 and not God. Chose to believe the 10, who all perished, by the way, because of their unbelief. And these are all leaders now. I want to make sure that we understand that leaders can mess up some stuff. We as leaders have got to walk on the right path. We got to be right and righteous. We got to support the leader who's the shepherd who's over all of it. So many times, leaders are the main ones that cause confusion. And that's what happened when Moses sent those 12 spies into the promised land, and they came back with this big old thing of grapes that took 2 men to carry. Big old everything, anything, everything, and they still whine and complain. And here we go again. Now we whining and complaining. You done brought us out here to die. We don't have any water. We don't have all the stuff you said we would go to a lamp blow. You would have. You chose not to. When you said, oh, well, we're going to pick us another leader and we're going back to Egypt. Really? And I said, okay. 40 days they were in the promised land, scouting it out. And for every day I'm giving you a year in the wilderness, and none of you, 20 years above, are going to make it in. You're going to die out here. He told them up front.
Nope.
This is what's going to happen because of your unbelief and your just hypening. These people were something else. So now I want to give that as a backdrop to what's about to happen, because Moses is given instruction by God. But when you are standing in the midst of a bunch of folks whining and complaining and talking about you like you're a junkyard dog, you get frustrated. And Moses is going to get frustrated here. And it says, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. And here's the key words here. Speak to the rock before their eyes. What did God say? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from them for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now, again, did the Lord tell Moses to strike that rock twice? I believe he told him to what? To the rock. Speak to the rock. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Edom said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword. So the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot and more. Then he said, you shall not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage to this territory. So Israel turned away from him. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Elijah, his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Elijah, his son, But Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded. And they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Elijah his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Elijah came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Samuel told it to Saul, and we're seeing it played out right here. Had Moses and Aaron just spoke to the rock, they both would have made it in. But again, God was already gearing up the new leadership. He was already getting Joshua in place because now Aaron has died. And Moses is all that's left of the leadership, the head leadership. And as we continue, it says in Numbers chapter 20 and 12, because you did not believe me, you shall not bring this assembly into a land which I have given them. Obedience always brings blessings, as disobedience always brings consequences. Disobedience brings consequences. Moses allowed his anger and frustration to provoke him into an ugly display of the flesh. Totally messed him up. Numbers 20 and 21, thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. It may have confused Israel why the Lord allowed the Edomites to refuse them passage. But as children of a sovereign Lord, we are never victims of our circumstance. And we need to remember that in all things, we are never victims of our circumstances. Numbers chapter 21 through chapter 22, verse 41. The king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Etherim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoner. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their city. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? But there is no food, no water. Our soul loathes this worthless bread. Excuse me. Is that bread not coming from heaven? Is that bread not coming from God? Is that bread not the bread that the angels eat? What in the world? Complaining. He done sent you bread. He done sent you meat. Everything you needed and wanted, he gave it to you. Water. Whatever it is. And here you are complaining again. The only reason you're still in the wilderness is because of yourself. It says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. It will be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, if you think about that, that bronze serpent symbol is what they use in medicine today. You know, even folks that don't believe in God don't know that if they're physicians, they're using a symbol of God today. Now, the children of Israel moved on to the camp at Obah, and they journeyed from Obah and camped at Ajah Abram in the wilderness, which is east of Moab, toward the sunrise. From there they moved and camped in the valley of Jezreel. From there they moved and camped on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites, for the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the words of the Lord, Wahab in Sufa, the brook of the Arnon, and the slope of the brook that reaches to the dwelling of Or, and lies on the border of Moab. From there they went to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, bring up, O well, all of you sing to it, the well that leadeth faint, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgivers with their staff. And from the wilderness they went to Mathaniah, from Mathaniah to Mehaliah, from Mehaliah to Bethmoth, and from Bethmoth in the valley that is the country of Moab on the wasteland. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of Amorites, saying, let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into the fields or vineyards. We will not drink water from the well, from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory. But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness, and he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon to Jabbok, as far as the people of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon were fortified. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all of the cities of the Amorites and the Heshbon, and in all the villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and had taken all his lands from his hand, and had taken all his lands from his hand as far as Arnon. Therefore those who speak in Proverbs say, come to Heshbon, let it be built, let the city of Sihon be repaired. For fire went out from Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Ur and Moab, the lords of the heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You have perished, O people of Chemosh. He has given his sons as fugitives, and his daughters into captivity, to Sihon, king of the Amorites. For we have shot at them. Heshbon is theirs as far as Dibon. Then we laid waste as far as Nophah, which reaches in Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. Then Moses went to spy out Jezreel, and they took his villages and drove out the Amorites who were there, and they turned and went up by the way to Bashan. So Or, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. Then the Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand, with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. So they defeated him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor left him, and they took possession of the land. Nothing is too hard for God, family. And if we go back over the life lessons from Numbers chapter 21, it says, if you will indeed deliver his people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. That's verse 2. God allowed a pagan king to take some Israelites captive in battle. But when we serve God, momentary defeats give way to ultimate victory. Adversity is a setback from which we take our greatest leap forward. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. The bronze serpent that Moses made in the desert was shadow the ultimate work of salvation that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Woo! Praise the Lord. Numbers 21, verse 24, then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon to Jabbok. In years to come, Israel often remembered the victories God had given them over Sihon and Og. Deuteronomy 31 and 4, Joshua 2 and 10, Judges 11, 21, Psalms 135, 10 through 11, Nehemiah 9 and 22. It helps us move forward when we commemorate spiritual victory. We got to remember where we come from so we appreciate where we are today. Chapter 22. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling near to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed from the divining seat in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lie to you tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me, for I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning, said to the prince of Balak, go back to your land. For the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the prince of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they may. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. For I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn him back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, but now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden over ever since I became yours? To this day was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live." And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balaam. Now when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border of Arnon and the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" And Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now, have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth that I must speak." So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kadesh Barnea. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he went and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the teaching of his holy word. And a life lesson from chapter 22, verse 32. "I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." Why was Balaam any way perverse before God? Because despite his good words, he harbored ill will against God's people. And eventually he died because of it. Numbers 31 and 8. "Those whom the Lord blesses will not be cursed, and woe to any who try." Don't play with God, and don't mess. We'll be a little over this morning of our 8 o'clock. God has given me a word to speak, my help. I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection comes only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. 121st Psalm, verses 1 through 2, TPT. "Lord, when I feel defeated and have nowhere to turn, I look to you. When there is no way out of the situation I'm in, I'll call on your name. You always provide a way through. I will not be afraid of what may come. You are the mighty conqueror. Only you can confuse the enemy and turn a situation to benefit those who love and follow you. You always know exactly what is needed. I will not tremble. I trust in you, my God, my ever-present help in times of need. Creation bows to your intentions. The tides turn at your command. Shift the raging winds and calm the storms that surround your people. You are the only true, reliable one, God of your word. You will not turn a deaf ear when I cry to you. Here you come with more than I could think to ask for. And a question for today is, when was the last time you helped someone? Think about that as we depart from each other. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family as we get ready to go up into a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. I just want to say thanking God for our sister in Christ. And the word from our sister is this: good morning. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Have a faith-filled Friday. And again, always right on point and right in line with the word that God gives us for the day. And as we release the word that God gave me for this morning, Mother, is trust in the Lord and he will give you water from the rock. Hallelujah. And that is all
Pastor,
I have, Mother. Do you have anything left?
Before you close out, I want to go to chapter 20. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, but Moses did not go into the promised land because God told Moses to speak to the rock. And Moses didn't speak to the rock. He struck the rock. Moses struck the rock. He did not obey God. And I want to bring that out because, you know, God, we always talk about Moses, Moses. Well, Moses wasn't obedient. He struck the rock. God told him to speak to the rock. And he didn't go into the promised land because of his disobedience. I had to bring that out. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to bring that out.
Amen.
Hello?
And I thank all of you this morning. Because I got to go to work. Please keep me in prayer. I'll be traveling this weekend and have some friends that I'm meeting that are also traveling. So please just keep my friends and myself in your prayers as we go to enjoy a weekend together. And we're celebrating my birthday. I'm celebrating all weekend. So thank you all so much. And I am grateful because we all are women of God and we celebrate godly. So thanking God for it and asking you to please pray for my great nephew. I had his, my mother tell me his name was Aiden, but in fact, his name is Asher. So please keep Asher, my great nephew, in your prayers, family. He is currently in NICU. He was a premature baby born with a couple of pounds. So we are going to pray for his complete healing as well as for his mom. So thank you all, family, for always being there. I love you all. I thank you, Mother, and my Table of Life family, those that are on. I thank God for each and every one of you as well. Thank you for the surprise last night. I'm still all teary-eyed from it, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I'm blessed to be a member of such an awesome and loving church with a wonderful and awesome loving pastor and all of you. So thank you so much, family. Thank you, Moving Forward family, Table Life family. Thank you all for just being who you are, awesome and mighty men and women of God. Have a great day, everyone. Be blessed. And again, please keep my family in prayer. It's appreciated. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Mother Valerie, Mother Lord, again, watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over all of you and yours. Have a blessed day. Mother, what is it? It is
It's a wrap. But before it's a wrap, I apologize for the silence because somebody was at the door, and I went to answer the door. That's why you know, the silence was there. I apologize for that. Okay, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining.
It is.
It's a wrap.
It is. It's a wrap. Have a great day, family. Enjoy your weekend. And don't forget, this month, this Sunday, we move forward. So we'll be together again on Monday under daylight saving time. Get that hour of sleep, y'all, and have a great day. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks, Mother. Love you, love you, love you. Love all of you.
Love
you. Be blessed. I got to go to work. So it is again,
it's
Mother.
A wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.